There's 104 days of summer vacation till school comes along just to end it. So the annual problem for our generation is finding a good way to spend it.
Like maybe building a rocket or fighting a mummy or climbing up the Eiffel Tower. Discovering something that doesn't exist or giving a monkey a shower. Surfing tidal waves, creating nanobots or locating Frankenstein's brain. Finding a dodo bird, painting a continent, or driving our sister insane. This could possibly be the best day ever. And the forecast says that tomorrow will likely be 1,000,006 times better. So make every minute count, jump up, jump in, and seize the day. And let's make sure that in every single possible way, today is gonna be a great day. Tundra or building a roller coaster, skiing down a mountain of beans, devising a system for remembering everything, or synchronizing submarines, racing chariots, taming tiger sharks, constructing a portal to Mars, building a time machine, stretching a rubber tree, or wailing away on guitars.
Oh, man.
This could possibly be the best day ever. And the forecast says that tomorrow will possible way. Today is gonna be a great day.
That was Bowling for Soup's Today's Gonna Be a Great Day, otherwise known as
the Phineas and Ferb theme song. Extended version.
Extended version.
Extended version. Yes. I don't know how I felt about it. It was like not quite my childhood.
I don't think Spotify has the original, unfortunately.
We forgive them.
We forgive them. That was a bop.
It was great.
And so exciting because summer is so close.
Well, you may think that that's the theme of tonight's show, but it's not.
No, not at all. Summer being so close would be perfect to talk about.
Yeah, but it would be too painful at this point because we still have a few weeks to get through. So our theme tonight is...
Themes. So that was the theme song from Phineas and Ferb. And we hope to talk about all sorts of themes, like... Literary themes.
Musical themes.
Musical themes.
Life themes.
Themes of life, for sure.
Can you find themes in your own life, or is that...
Themes of maybe the show?
Yeah, well, the reason we were thinking, you know, every week we come up with a theme.
And just a reminder, this is Mona Noah Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford, Tufts Free From Radio.
Thank you so much, Noah. You know, every week we think of a theme, and, you know, then we talk about the theme. But then this week we were like, why, you know, what is that? Like, what is a theme? Why do we pick one? What do we talk about when we talk? If we hadn't thought up of that theme, would we still, like, talk about it? I don't know.
Probably not.
So many questions that will be answered on tonight's Mona Noah Save the World.
Wonderful.
Well, in terms of theme songs, I feel like they are a staple of our culture.
Oh, for sure. It's the fastest way to get a group of people to sort of understand this, like, idea. I mean, that's what a theme is, like, this condensed idea.
Yeah. Ooh, such a good point.
It's like a theme song is, like, a musical method of sending out that, like, signal.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And I think that, I think also it's like, theme songs are such a big part of pop culture.
Oh, for sure.
And they become so, like, part of the fabric of our everyday life. Like the Office theme song is just now a staple. Like, and something I thought was really interesting was when President Donald Trump went to go meet with Kim Jong-un, TBT, there's like a part where he, where they're talking, and then like Trump kind of looks at the camera and Kim Jong-un kind of looks at the camera, and someone made that into like an Office cold open, and like it follows the Office scene song. Mm-hmm. And I was like, on the one hand, this is so funny, and on the other hand, this is like disturbing.
Such a serious like,
yeah,
thing.
Like, this is not
something pop
sitcom.
Culture should be.
Yeah. Yeah, this
reaching its hands on.
Yeah, and also no, but also like also the meeting shouldn't be remotely resembling pop culture. It should be like a serious meeting.
You'd hope,
but alas. Yeah. So we've talked about theme songs.
Mm-hmm. We're debating opening with the Friends theme, which we think is probably one of the most recognizable and iconic themes, which is interesting because it's its own song. Like, it's a real song that existed before.
Because most other theme songs are just like, this is a theme song.
I think probably the most famous theme songs maybe always are the themes, like the Breakfast Club theme, Don't You Forget About Me.
Like, yeah, but then The Office is a counterexample to that. Because it's true. So famous. And it's just, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Thank you, Mona.
Yeah, that was my musical rendition.
But I recognized it. I like knew what you were communicating.
And like when like people like always like want to learn how to play it on the piano or the whatever, like that's just
It's interesting.
It's very interesting. But I also think that, you know, so we have my dad just texted the most recognizable is Sesame Street. That's so true.
Very true.
Dun dun dun. Da-da-da-da. Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay,
good. Sunny days, sweeping up.
Okay, well, like, children... Okay, that's another thing is theme songs have such an element of nostalgia.
Like, and they're so generational.
They're so generational. But, like, my brother and I found, like, a compilation of... on YouTube of themed, like, childhood... like, children TV show theme songs, like, from our childhood. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was just so nostalgic. It was amazing. I loved it. But you're right also about generational. Like, a kid from today would look at that, like, and be like, okay.
I know I'm supposed to know what the MASH theme song is, but I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. Even, like, Seinfeld. Like, I've seen some of it, but does it have it? Is
it
that
must.
The... Oh, is that the...
Don't recognize it.
Very, like, bowdy bow bow.
Very possibly.
Thank you, Noah. But I also think that, like, other than theme songs as a whole... Mm-hmm. Something interesting is, like, the concept of a musical theme.
Yeah.
Because it's, like, usually that doesn't refer to a full song, but to, like, a snippet that kind of keeps coming back.
Interestingly, I participated here at Tufts in a study.
Oh, yeah, you
They're
did.
They're studying my brain. It was great, but an awful experience physically in the moment. It was an EEG scan, so they're scanning my brain, so I got to wear this, like, cap of electrodes that were measuring my brain activity. And unfortunately, if you move your face at all while wearing one of these, it like hyper recognizes it and it completely messes up the scan. And so I promise this relates to themes.
We know.
I had to stare at the screen while these like piano MIDI music files were playing, and I couldn't blink and I couldn't move my face at all. I just had to stare like very dead on in this dark room at this TV, and I just sort of like I wasn't crying, but like tears were just streaming down my face, and I just couldn't move. It was awful, but it was great. And the result of it was to recognize if like when musical patterns that went wrong were played. So they'd play some like familiar musical patterns, and then like one would like have something wrong, so it'd be like ascending, but then one would like be flat. And they wanted to see if like your brain could register that. I don't know the results of the study, but like it was trying to sort of find if we could like pick out and predict these themes, and then like what our brains did when like we were betrayed by the music.
Oh, okay. Deep betrayal.
But like themes are so functional because our brains are like so able to draw connections and so able to predict.
Yeah.
Like I know Star Wars probably has some of the most famous like character themes and like the recurring
like archetypes.
Yeah.
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 Well, yeah. Interesting. It's interesting how you, I don't know, you can go from like theme to like archetype. You could also go from like theme, quote unquote, to like a stereotype. Because, you know, you could say, oh, it's a common theme among those people.
Yeah.
But that's a generalization. That's a stereotype. Yeah. So, I don't know. Our brains use themes to organize information. We're like, okay, there's a pattern. There's a theme. Like, I don't know. One of my favorite musical themes is in the movie Up. That I think the score won like an Oscar for best score or whatever. And it just, you know, there's kind of there's like the famous opening scene of Up where it's all emotional, whatever. But, you know, it has the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
It's them aging, them going.
Yeah. But then throughout the movie, if you listen closely, that theme comes back in so many different ways. Like, in the action parts, it becomes, like, very action-y. In the, like, it comes back in so many different variations. But, like, so well done.
So well done.
So, and my dad just said, most amazing two-note theme. Jaws. Da, he is da, so right.
Da, da.
No. Da, da, it's still...
Yeah,
he's right. He has a point.
I think when I was learning piano, just playing those two notes, I felt so powerful. Like, you can conjure all of these ideas.
Two notes.
And, like, all of these associations of, like, sharks and fear and, like, intensity and like, building.
That's crazy that we hear those two notes and we're like, sharks. Like, that doesn't make any natural sense.
I think it's really interesting. We promise we'll play the beautiful, beautiful City of Prague Philharmonic Orchestra's cover of A Married Life from Us. But I think if aliens were looking at us and they, like, could see some of the things that we do, like hearing two notes and us being like, oh no, like, is a shark going to attack me? Like, I think they'd just be so amazed.
Well, have you seen those memes that are like the alien memes?
I love those aliens.
Funny. I don't know who started it, but it's just like, yeah, like things we really take for granted, like social interactions and communications that were like, this is normal. And then they, like, say it in their little alien language of, like, I can't replicate one of them. But, like, very formal, broken down to, like, exactly what's going on kind of language. And it's so funny. Because it's like, yeah, it just shows it's like, oh, yeah. Like, this is kind of, we're weird.
Humans are strange things.
Yeah, this is weird.
Very
okay. On that note, note.
We laugh.
We laugh. Here is A Married Life from Up. So beautiful.
Thank you. Just, I would be lying if I didn't say that I teared up a bit, just a bit, but it was, it's just always so emotional, you know? You know.
I know. I've cried to that song, just song alone, certainly before. It's many, many praises to the city of Prague, Philharmonic
Yeah,
Orchestra.
They did great. I'm very happy for them. And also, yeah, I just think it's so crazy how, like, that little, like, the do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do, it just shows that it really is the context that makes the emotion, like, because that theme, that musical theme, can be so happy and like da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, and then it can be so sad when it's just like the piano and the harp, and it's like, it's like the same thing though, but yet it's not the same thing.
Sort of the same notes, but in different.
Yeah. And again, our remote contributor, my dad, was texting me about a musician named Mike Oldfield who did a beautiful song called Tubular Bells, but it became the theme to The Exorcist. I can't say that word. And now it will forever be associated with horror.
Oh, that would kind of suck.
That kind of sucks. Like, well, imagine writing a beautiful piece of music just to have it be like a horror theme song.
I mean, it's kind of cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's recognizable.
It all depends on who you are and like what. We were talking a little bit about this over the break. How an author's ideas of the themes that they put in their works can translate to an audience and the themes that they draw out of some works.
Yeah, my mom is an author, Marjan Kamali, if anyone wants to look her up. She is amazing. And she says, sometimes someone will come up to her and be like, wow, like, yeah, that passage where it was clearly so symbolic of the greater theme. And she's like, oh yeah. Like, I didn't realize that, but yeah, that, you know, maybe it was subconsciously she was doing it, or maybe she didn't intend it at all and that's what someone took out of it. But oh my gosh, the best example of that is the poem, the whatever it's called, The Road Less Traveled, or The Road Not Taken, or whatever, by Robert Frost. And you know, I always thought of that as like a very inspiring poem about follow your dreams and like don't go with the crowd, you know, etc. But it turns out that like the context that he was writing it in was he was kind of making fun of his friend. I can't remember the name of the friend who like could never decide anything. And it's like satirical. It's like, it doesn't really matter. Like, oh, and that has made all the difference. But no one reads that as satirical. Like, that poem is not read as satirical.
Not at all.
And I wrote a whole essay about it, and the essay was really good. So
I'm proud. That.
Thank you so much. I'm proud too. Yeah, and we were also during the break kind of talking about like the difference between like themes and morals. Because a lot of people read a story and they're like, what was the moral of that story?
How can I change my life so that I can live better according to this author and myself?
And it's like, maybe it was just something to think about.
Yeah, for sure. Like, something, The Maze Runner just popped into my head. And I was like, Like, I it's so just interesting. Like, how these ideas that books have to sort of change us in a way, or like have these deeper meanings, and like poems like have to move us, like they don't. Like, they completely could just have like themes or morals that like.
Does The Maze Runner not have a theme? I haven't read The Maze Runner. Because it's just kind of like there.
Just like a very,
just like a cliche,
regular young adult novel.
Oh my gosh, I had a little prosby with me yesterday. My friend from high school, so cute. And she said the funniest thing. She was like, we were talking about how we don't read enough books anymore. We want to read more books. And she went kind of the typical nostalgically. She was like, I used to read so much in middle school. And then she followed that by saying, and all the books were just so bad.
No, I love young adult. Like,
really?
Garbage books.
I mean, I love them, but like.
No, I love them.
Again, Noah, I was saying how some parts of your personality are surprising to me. That's surprising to me. I thought you would be like, I don't know, like,
really? I could read bad dystopian sci-fi.
I guess that's not that surprising. What did you think of my, I feel like the most underrated one of those is Uglies. I really like Uglies. You never read Uglies?
No.
No, well, that one was actually good.
Probably why I didn't read it.
About a society where on their, like, I want to say, like, 18th birthday, everyone gets surgery to look pretty, quote-unquote. Everyone gets, like, a beautification surgery, and the idea is it's, like, an equalizer because no one's ugly. But, of course, spoiler alert.
They're all becoming ugly.
No. The spoiler alert is they don't just change your face.
They change
your dumb you down. They put something in your brain so that you can't think for yourself.
Wow.
No, but it's really good because then it just, yeah, it kind of, and the, what, something I think one of the reason I have so much respect for that book is that it's a series and the whole series is good, and the whole series you can see that, like, he didn't just keep writing the books for the sake of writing them. Like, they all are part of, like, a greater coherent storyline, which is the opposite of, like, Divergent.
I feel like I have zero motivation to read that. I
Uglies?
Yeah.
Well, why would you read it now?
Because I'm going to spend my summer reading garbage.
Wait, then why wouldn't you read it? It's not that good. It's like good by comparison, but it's not actually good.
Okay.
Give it a chance.
We'll
there are
see.
Some good
we'll
themes.
When my friends is like, I'm going to give you a bunch of books to read over the summer, and I'm like physically give me books.
Oh, good.
So I think I really want to actually try to get through as many of those as I can.
Interesting. I feel like, speaking of themes, I feel like I was saying to someone how I was reading something and it had really good themes. But I will never remember. I have forgotten. I was like, the
clearly
themes.
Not that good of themes.
Oh, no, I was talking to you at dinner about that show.
Which show?
Mozart in the Jungle.
Ah.
Because I was saying, so the show Mozart in the Jungle is about a Mexican composer who's very young and, like, vivacious, and he comes to conductor. He comes to conduct the New York Symphony, but he's very much like, I don't know,
he's
New
non-conventional.
Yeah. And the New York Symphony is very like, we are an institution, blah, blah, blah. So he kind of clashes with them, but he wants to make the music. And I was saying to Noah, I was like, you know, the plot is like fine, the writing is fine, but the themes are really interesting of like, yeah, like classical music is so beautiful. And yet there's kind of so much like blah of the, you know, kind of, it's kind of very classed, very class. Like, you know, it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, it's not the most savory like thing in modern society. It'd be interesting. I'm always here. I just like a lot of EDM. I think I want more EDM remixes of, like, very classical songs. I think that would be an experience. I think maybe for the last radio show Mona and I ever do, as a contrast to postmodern jukebox, we can do classical EDM.
Well, yeah, maybe by then it'll, like, actually exist.
I'm sure it does exist. It must exist.
It must. We'll look for it.
We'll see.
We'll look for it. Oh, was that our first show?
It was.
Oh my gosh, listeners, Noah and I only have a few weeks left of shows for this semester, but we'll be back.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the semester is coming to a close. Yeah,
for sure.
Theme of moving on and growing up.
Some interesting themes about WMFO is that here at WMFO on Saturday, May 4th, tune in to hear some of your favorite local musicians. Between 9 a.m. and 5 p.m., WMFO will host 9 bands and musicians. Yes, folks, that is 9. Please tune in to WMFO 91.5 FM for live music day with music from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. So be sure to check that out. That is one Saturday from now, right before our second to last episode of Mona Noah.
Yeah.
Our last episode of Mona
Noah.
It depends.
We have to talk.
For this semester. May 10th is the last day that we can be here.
So then second to last.
Well, then it would be May 11th is the week after that. So we're gone. I leave May 10th.
Oh.
So, right before
Wait, no, you're not. You're incorrect.
I'm
correct. You're incorrect. No, because we have a week left of classes. So there's that weekend. And then we have a week of reading period. And there's that weekend. And then it's the week of, like, the 6th.
But this is 2 weeks from now. May 4th. The WMFO Local Musicians Day
is 2 weekends from now. Clearly I wasn't listening to anything you said. I thought you meant next weekend was our last weekend.
We have two more shows.
You were talking about... Yeah, okay. Okay, I'm glad everyone got to hear us figure that out.
Put together our lives.
We are just getting it together.
That's good.
Yeah, interesting.
Themes of unity and understanding today.
It's, as you can tell, it's kind of hard to do a show without a theme.
We do have a theme, Mona.
I know, but like, what if we didn't have, like, what if, I feel like 1 week we would just be like, there is no theme.
This week is no theme week.
Nothing can hold us back. Nothing can contain our creativity.
We'd probably just like schedule out our week and figure out our lives. Probably be a very productive hour.
Interesting.
We're also getting pretty off topic.
I think that to bring us back, we should listen to the most famous theme song, the Friends theme song, I'll Be There For You. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I...
Clearly. You know what? Noah and I, we're really excited to come back next semester with all our planning vibes of planning out the songs before the show. And do you have it up? I'm stalling.
I do have
it up. Okay, never mind.
It's not that hard, Mona.
Okay, I didn't know what it was called.
Yeah, I'll be, like...
I'll be there for you. I thought that was too obvious.
Nope, but, I mean, easy to remember themes.
Okay, well, yep, easy to remember themes. Everyone enjoy this.
Even
classic theme, one I just don't love.
I like the song. I think that I've never got into the show. I don't dislike it, but I'm not like, oh my God, Friends.
I'm just so apathetic towards it.
Yeah, I feel like it's very, I don't know why it made such a comeback. It feels dated.
Yeah, like
it's just like a bunch of
it
people.
As a show, the themes that it
the
has.
The themes are just nothing.
Like, not things we need.
I know, it's just like, I mean, like Seinfeld is like, you know, quote unquote, like a show about nothing. But it still feels today very creative and like kind of the original sitcom, not the original sitcom, but like a new kind of sitcom, like very trailblazing, blah, blah, blah. Because it's like, ooh, it's just like not about anything. But Friends is just like not about anything and not in an interesting way. It's just like, okay, this is real.
Guess I'll watch 7 seasons of this, right? Is that?
I don't know. I've seen like 2 episodes.
Too many. Too many high schoolers spending too much time watching Friends, and I'm tired of it.
Oh my gosh, Noah, you sound like a grumpy old man. Noah's like, good.
Good, yeah. Take it off. Netflix can stop paying for it and put better shows on.
Remember
please.
When Netflix was going to cancel Friends and everyone was like, ah, and then they were like, okay, we'll keep it long enough for everyone to finish, then we're taking it off. I was like, wow. Okay, but also, I think one theme song it's not just one theme song, but
it's
one
many.
Genre, yeah, of theme songs that
I don't
are
know
so
that I call them a genre.
Not a genre, a collection, a series,
collection,
a set of theme. I was like, I like set, a set of theme songs that we haven't discussed that I feel like are really cool are all the James Bond theme songs, because
mm-hmm.
they all have the same kind of theme, like musical themes of like mysterious, sexy, James Bond. And they all have the, what is the specific? They all have a specific musical theme too. That's
could not tell you.
I feel like they do. I'm sure my dad would be able to replicate it, but that's not something he can text me. It's like a specific like cadence or something that's very James Bond that they all have. But then they're all their own song. And then at least the recent ones, like the Sam Smith one and the Adele one and stuff, you know, go on to be just like regular pop songs outside of James Bond. And I just saw yes, Noah. Yeah.
This is, I think, the classic.
This is the classic one. And then there's, like, I think it's, like, the trumpet part. The I can't do it. But anyway, then I just received word that the next theme song is going to be sung by Dua Lipa. And I am a huge Dua Lipa fan, and I think she has the perfect voice. That, like, sultry, smooth, round, sexy voice. And I am thrilled and excited. So I think that after we discuss more, we should play either the Sam Smith one or the Adele one.
I do have both of those right here.
Oh,
I don't
beautiful.
Think I've ever heard the Sam Smith.
Okay, well, I was leaning toward that one, so when the time is here, we'll
sounds
do that
good.
One.
But we've talked way too much about musical themes, and Mona and I, being only freshmen in college, yes. although not for long, have something that was very present on our mind for the last 4 years of our lives, and that is literary themes in English papers.
Yes.
You did timed writings, right? Just a timed writing every week?
No.
No?
No.
Have you ever done a timed writing?
Like, a few times, but not regularly.
Oh, we used to do them all the time.
Really?
Like, pretty much, like, every Friday, we would have to do a timed writing. And,
That's
listeners,
terrible.
If you are fortunate enough to never have to do a timed writing, you pretty much are given a passage, like 2 pages, 3 pages maybe. You have, our class periods were 50 minutes long. So you had 50 minutes to read this passage and
oh
then
God.
Write probably a 4-paragraph essay.
This sounds like standardized test prep. Was it for standardized test prep?
For AP test, AP comp and AP lit.
We didn't have AP English, which was sad.
Interesting.
Okay, but also I like how you're acting as though this is in the past because you are taking a lot of STEM classes here. Like, I still am writing these literary
themes. Are you writing them? You have 50 minutes in class?
No, but I guess I never did that. So to me, it's pretty similar.
Lucky.
But something, I have a funny story, which is that my mom was on a tour as her author life.
Mm-hmm.
A pre-publication tour for her book. Congratulations, Marjan Kamali. But anyway, she sent me a picture from the hotel, and she was like, look at this hotel. Like, I'm living my best life. And I was like, yes, so proud of you. But But then I was like, oh my God, Mom, like the hotel, just the picture was very much like one of those pictures that you would, it would be like, analyze this picture, because it's just like the painting was very similar to the theme of my mom's book, and like the lighting was such, and I was like, I could literally write an English essay about this. And she was like, haha. And then I did, like, as a joke. And it was very scary to me how easily I was able to just like slip into the, like, you know, evidence sort of analysis.
Academic,
yeah. Like, it was too easy. And
we're just very programmed to follow that, like, formulaic building.
Yeah.
Did you have a certain, like, acronym on how you...
Probably.
Do you just not remember?
We had, yeah, we had a few, like, it depend. Each year, a new teacher would give a new one.
We had CSET, claim, setup, evidence, tie-in.
Oh.
Yeah.
I'm in pain.
The hours I have spent just building CSET paragraphs.
Oh, no. I kind of want to find a quote from this essay, because it was truly so funny. Like, it was just, like, it was like clearly a joke, but it was also like clearly like too, it was like too real. It was like, I'm pulling it up.
Technology is great,
like,
that we can
I wrote like, Kamali's dress in Marjan selfie in Seattle hotel, italicized, mirrors her novel's tone and themes. And then, like, and then I used my texts from my mom as, like, evidence, where I was like, she powerfully points out, quote, and the flower motif of your book cover, Tavangar, iMessage communication, alluding to the book jacket of her book, blah, blah, blah. Like, one can interpret her choice as an intentional allusion or a subconscious choice, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's just, like, so funny. And then it's, like... Yeah, it starts with, photography is a form of visual poetry that encapsulates the human experience, which doesn't actually mean anything, but sounds fancy.
So nice.
Yeah, so if anyone wants to read the full essay, I'm happy to send it to you, because it's very funny. Yeah.
It's great.
Interesting.
Yeah, I mean, picking out themes, it's interesting, sort of, because the idea is, you can find whatever theme, like, nobody can tell you what themes you find. Of course, there are, like, common ones that everybody will find in a piece, but, like, as long as you can defend that, like, your theme exists in this, like, using literary devices, then, like, it's valid, kind of.
But I feel like not all English teachers are good at upholding to that, because it's tempting.
They have their own biases.
Yeah, I remember by high school, my teachers were very much, like, acknowledging it and being like, let's have a dialogue about this, like, I as the teacher, you as the student, you know, that kind of stuff. But remember in middle school we read Of Mice and Men, Tears, you've read it, right?
Yeah,
so sad. But like, I wanted to write my essay about like the message of hope that's like present. And yeah, to be fair, like, I feel like the teacher could have said, oh, this is a really great theme, hope, you know, make sure when you're writing your essay you take into consideration the book's tragic ending. But I remember what she said to me was, she said, this is too optimistic.
John Steinbeck as an author is, none of his pieces are really...
I know, but for the teacher to say to me just like, this is too optimistic, is clearly just imparting, I don't know, just the way she approached it.
I think it's imparting a certain knowledge, maybe, a certain wisdom that, although... we might want to pull these themes out, we would just be bending the evidence.
Fair, but I think that the way she worded it, again, she could have said that. She could have said, wow, like, I... But also, the theme of hope is present throughout the book. Again, when we were talking about, like, the moral, is the moral kind... I don't know, I mean, maybe that's a stretch of the use of the word moral, but, like, yeah, maybe it's not. Maybe the conclusion isn't hopeful, but... throughout the whole book, like, hope is a very powerful driving force of the characters. So for her to just dismiss that and be like, oh, but, like, it's, you didn't read the ending.
Fair. I think there's something to be said on both sides.
No, I can't accept that. Just the way she, I don't know. I agree that I was looking at it, I wasn't looking at the full picture, and I should have. But I think that to say to a student, like, your theme is too X, or this is not X enough, this is not Y enough, is not the way to be, like, that's not the way to be constructive. Yeah, because it just says kind of like, that didn't lead me to look at the book in a fuller picture. That led me to be, what gives you the right to tell me how to interpret this? Shouldn't I be able to interpret it? Which again was naive, but like she could have helped me to see the fuller picture by leading me to seeing it myself, but by just trying to impart it on me, by trying to be like, oh, but didn't you read the end where it all, you know, falls apart? Like, of course I read it. I just at my stage as a reader, as a person, I wasn't focusing on that. And I think that the way she approached it backfired. And I feel like we've talked about this in general of like, you know, telling people what to think, I don't think is constructive. And in terms of like, you know, the political polarization of today, and I feel like there's a lot of like, well, you should be thinking X, Y, Z. And it's like, that's not going to change the person's mind, in my opinion. I don't know. I feel like you're giving me a look. What's your pushback?
I mean, just like, I've read Of Mice and Men, and I've also read like The Grapes of Wrath. And like,
I haven't read that one.
It's just not about hope.
Yes, it is.
No.
It's not only about hope, but hope is a central theme.
Hope is a means to like demonstrate, I think, like how we can sort of mislead ourselves about like the sort of like possible like realities about the future, I think.
I guess, but it still is...
You think your point on you can't just tell people what to think and they'll just go with it is very valid. I think it could have been done in a better approach. I am critical of using Of Mice and Men as a means of discussing hope, but of being like, there's hope in this.
Interesting. Maybe I should go back and reread it.
I
really got a message, not an ultimate message of hope, but
I think themes are supposed to be more sort of ultimate, though.
No. I disagree. Because hope was important to the characters. And yeah, you're right that was, you know, ultimately misleading them and stuff. But yeah, I guess you're okay. I guess it depends how you interpret a theme.
I think if you said how hope can blind us to the realities of a situation, and how hope and optimism can sometimes lead us to be negligent of reality, I think that might have been more
valid. But couldn't you also say that hope was what kept them going when they were still going?
Have you read A Streetcar Named Desire?
No, people keep telling me to
Mona,
read that.
Mona, you gotta read it.
I know. But I'm saying, like, why is it naive to say that hope kept them going? Because it did. And yes, it ultimately failed, but what, like, that's not an... I don't know. Part of me feels like...
I don't think hope kept them going. I think a need...
A need to believe in something.
I think a need to keep going kept them going. A need to stay alive kept them going. They were fleeing from a murder at the beginning of the book. Right?
I don't remember.
It starts with him killing.
Oh, yeah.
And then it ends.
But the story with the bunnies and stuff...
All tragically end.
Yeah, but I feel like that doesn't...
He keeps killing them.
No. I feel like it kept them going until it didn't.
Him killing them? No. It kept reminding him of reality.
The bunny story?
Every time he had an animal.
Oh, he kept killing the band. Oh, I forgot that he kept killing the
little mice, little rabbits.
Oh, clearly I just... chose to believe what I wanted to in that one. I'm still mad at my English teacher for just dismissing my essay.
I think a strong nudge might have been warranted.
I think she could have offered a counter perspective, but I don't know. I guess, okay, I'm gonna think on this one. Maybe if I were to read it fresh today, I wouldn't come to that conclusion, and I'm just stuck in my like I'm right thing. But I wouldn't have been stuck in the eighth grade stubborn I'm right thing if she had approached it differently. So it's still her fault.
This is Sam Smith's writing on the wall. Writings on the wall. I've never heard it.
Oh wait, really quickly before we play it, my dad did send an update about the James Bond theme.
Interesting.
The James Bond theme is based on an Indian raga music. They started to run out of time, so they took it and made it work for James. Well, that's good to know.
Wow.
On that note,
Writings on the Wall by yes. Sam Smith. Please enjoy.
Interesting indeed.
So that's the first time I've heard that. And I think we've lost sort of this original James Bond musical theme that existed.
Noah just turned to me. He was like, we've lost the theme.
it's just so dramatic. And I feel like James Bond at its heart is an action movie. It's not this big romantic like thing. It's not this epic like moment. It's like spies and fun and exciting. And that was just too much, I think.
What's your thought on James Bond movies, like, as a whole?
I'm not really an action person.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because I think I saw the movie that this was the song for, or it was the one that the Adele song was the song for. And I love action movies, but
I feel like it kind of puts me to sleep.
But the James Bond one was so stupid. And it was so outdated. Like, when we talk about the context of themes, like, those themes kind of, like, are no... Like, he was... The whole, like, him, like, randomly sleeping with random women in random countries and not... I don't know. I just feel like today's action movies are... You know, like, Marvel movies are so, like, it's the underdog. Like, they're just... It was such a... I don't know, but it was such a different vibe. It was such a, like, shishi, like... Morocco. I hated it.
I think they're for, like, the... older people who like watch the original James Bonds and like want James Bond now. Yeah. And that's still kind of the audience of James Bond has not changed.
Yeah, it has not.
And it's interesting. Like, I understand why spy movies were a thing in like the 60s, in the 70s. But like, we don't really think about spies anymore. We just kind of like know that there's like pretty outright espionage, and like nowadays it's all online, like cyber attacks. It's so, like, I'm sure there are, like, I know spies exist, but like, there's no glory in like being a spy.
Well, I feel like the counter example to James Bond is Mission Impossible,
because it's like a funnier version.
No, I mean, in like, you said that the James Bond, it's all the same generation, like there's not a new generation of James Bond fans.
Yeah, but
Mission Impossible, I feel like there is.
Yeah, but it's so bad.
it's not.
Like, oh, we have cool cars and technology and we're spies. And it's like...
I think it's better than James Bond.
I think, like, at least James Bond is committed to the same idea, the same, like, theme, maybe. Like, Mission Impossible and Changing, like, has none of that, like, maybe nostalgic potential, and, like, also has no, like, modern value because it's still a...
I guess I would say that it doesn't have... No, I would say that it has a... I would say that the fans would say that it has a balance of the nostalgia and the modern. Because, like, some of the characters are still the same. It's still Tom Cruise. Like, some of his backup whatevers are kind of the same. But then, like, it does kind of have, like, a modern feel. I saw... My brother and I drove by Jordan's Furniture, which is, for non-Massachusetts people... Do you know Jordan's Furniture?
No idea.
It's a furniture store, but it's so much more. It has an IMAX theater.
Oh.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, an IKEA, but American.
Yeah. And like more extra. And so my family went and saw the new Mission Impossible in IMAX. And my brother and I agreed that by far the best part of it was that we saw it in IMAX, which is sad.
Yeah,
right?
That's not a compliment at all. To like cinematography.
No. But, you know, seeing it in the huge IMAX screen with the noise and the vibrations and, you know, that kind of stuff was cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, the movie itself was like aggressively mediocre.
Aggressively mediocre.
That's called a paradox.
It's kind of like Lightodes.
No. There's a literary term for it, isn't there? Juxtaposition.
Yes.
Juxtaposition.
You could say that. Yeah.
I think.
Juxtaposition is when you place two contrasting things. It's kind of like a pun. Like, not a...
Not a pun.
I think it's like an oxymoron.
Yeah, maybe that's what I'm thinking.
That's the one.
Okay, between
two opposites next to each other.
Yeah. I always confuse juxtaposition and
juxtaposition
oxymoron.
Is when you put two contrasting ideas next to each other. And
oxymoron
is purely literary.
Yeah.
Like a jumbo shrimp.
You're so smart, Noah.
I had to write essays every week using
yes,
these things.
Yes, the timed writing. Well, wow, we made it through a whole
hour talking about themes. vaguely,
can't believe we pulled it
loosely
off.
Talking about themes.
Yeah, trying our best.
Mona is one of little Faith.
What do you mean?
You have so much doubt for this show.
I do not. I don't as a whole. Today, I was a little doubtful.
Themes is a tricky thing to talk
themes
about.
Themes is a tricky theme.
True.
But we made it work. I'm proud of us.
Explored James Bond.
Yeah, we went
excitingly
there. We went there. And now Noah and I are going to go right downstairs to see a little musical.
Yeah. Exploring and Shakespearean themes, correct?
No.
No?
No. One of them, it's like two acts. The first act is Adam and Eve. The second is Cinderella.
Oh, biblical and classic Cinderella storytelling themes. Oh.
Yeah,
I know very little about this play. Musical.
Woo, very exciting. And we'll be back two more times. If anyone has an idea for a theme that they would like us to do, we always want to hear it.
For sure.
Oh, this was great. This is Mona and Noah Save the World, and you're listening to 91.5 FM, WMFO Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. Good night, Noah.
Good night, Mona. Do you have any final songs? Any last
theme
songs?
The Adele one, Skyfall.
Fine. This is Adele's Skyfall, also featured in James Bond.